time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, Thrivers. Thank you. Welcome. Thanks for being here. This is Lee Bockham. As I've said before, I'm a part-time Thriver, full-time Thriveologist. That means that I try to thrive through my life. But as all of us, we do good and bad jobs of thriving throughout life, better days, worse days. Sometimes we have a good strategy. Sometimes we don't. And that's why we're here. I'm a Thriveologist all the time, meaning that I'm always studying, always reading, always trying to figure out how to be a better Thriver and how to teach others to be better Thrivers. And that's why we're here. Hopefully you're here because you're ready to do a little bit more thriving. Sometimes we talk about mindset. Sometimes we talk about practical issues. Sometimes we have guest interviews. And today is one of those practical days. A couple of weeks back, my podcast, I think it was number 11 because we're on 13 now, but podcast 11 was about forgiveness. Tricky little subject, and it spurred a lot of people who were asking the other side of forgiveness. How do you apologize? Well, that's something that I've put a lot of thought into, and I'll tell you when that started. There was a time a while back when a good friend of mine and I had what I would say was a messaging argument, and I felt very attacked. And so when I looked back on that, at the end of that, there had been an apology. He apologized to me, but it was a very unfulfilling apology. And so I began to think, what is it that makes an apology useful and one that moves us towards reconciliation? And what's an apology just kind of lingers out there and is unsatisfying and does little? And so today I want to talk about what are those elements. And I want you first to think back about a time when you were the person who either had an apology or gave an apology. You know, someone apologized to you and you realize it didn't quite hit. And I just want you to kind of keep that feeling in your mind and maybe even think about what was said, what happened in that transaction, and that might tell you some pieces as we go through this. I've got several steps I want to talk about how you do an apology most effectively and what is behind an apology. I'll tell you, my first memories of apologies was my father having my brother and I by the scruff of the neck after we had probably once again gotten into a little bear cub match where we rolled around on floor and angrily got involved in each other's business. And so what would happen at the end of that, and I had to have been very small because I remember my father was, you know, pretty much leaning over. My father's a pretty tall guy, but he was pretty much leaning over, having us by the scruff of the neck. And you know what happens next? He says, apologize to your brother. And so you go, I'm sorry. And the other one does the same thing. And then you have to say, I forgive you. And what was interesting in that was the apology didn't really make you feel better, and you really weren't forgiving. So in those moments, you realize that there's something else that's behind that. But I just remember those first early moments of learning to apologize and yet not really feeling the apology. It wasn't coming from a place of apology. It was coming from a place of being held by the scruff of the neck. And so, you know, over time, I think that probably ended up being a place where because we always reconnected. My brother and I then would start playing again. So evidently somewhere in there, we decided to move forward. But not necessarily because we had done a good job apologizing. We just didn't have the skill set then. And so later in life, as I began to watch couples apologize to each other and individuals apologize for many things, and probably most telling, watching politicians do an apology that was a complete non-apology, you know, to be able to say, you know, mistakes were made, and to be able to begin to say that something went wrong and yet never able to say, I did this wrong. And that began to make me think, what is it that really creates an apology? So after talking about this forgiveness thing, I'd had a few elements that I often told people, but I really wanted to dig into this and think, what is it that happens in that moment? So I went and looked up the word, like I always do. What does a word mean? And I found that it comes from two Greek words, apo and logia. Now, logia you may know as the word, a spoken word. And apo, though, is to move away from. And so what it meant was, it's literally a speech away from. And in the early part, the way that was used originally, it was a speech in one's own defense. And that speech was made in a public setting to defend one's actions or to defend one's beliefs. And so you might hear an apologia of Christianity or a faith or a belief, and that's a defense of that belief, to speak out in defense of that belief. But before that, it was about one's actions, and you made it in one's own defense. Now that's changed. We now use that a different kind of defense term for that. You know, that's a legal term, but the way we now use apology is it's a way of taking responsibility. It has a much less legal and a more conciliatory tone to it. It's about how do I take responsibility for my actions, not how do I defend my actions. And so for this, I really want us to recognize that shift, that this is what once was just kind of in the beginning a legal defense. It's now much more than that. It's a way of seeking forgiveness and taking on responsibility. But for this purpose, for us talking, let's even get away from that idea of it's seeking forgiveness. It's not for forgiveness that we apologize. And the reason I say that is because we want to take back what power we have. In everything, I think when we're thriving, we're taking back our own power and not giving it to somebody else in ways that leave us dangling. And so if you think of an apology as being for forgiveness and then the other person doesn't do it, then you're left hanging. So let's take another angle. Then an apology is a way of accepting responsibility and attempting reconciliation. That's what you have on your side to do. You can only attempt it. And so it's about accepting the responsibility for actions and then attempting to move back into a reconciliation with that other person. Forgiveness, though, is a choice. As I said a couple of weeks ago in that podcast on forgiveness, forgiveness is the choice on the other person's part. It's their choice and it's not in your control. I say that just to remind you that when you're looking at this whole idea of forgiveness, that forgiveness is what the other person is doing for themselves. We got to kind of stay consistent with these different strategies of thriving. And one of them is to understand that when you forgive for yourself so you don't carry it around. And this is true as we apply it to somebody else. Somebody else forgiving us is for them. They may forgive us and have no reconciliation. Somebody may forgive me and still refuse to have anything to do with me. Somebody may forgive me and still move away from me. And so these are separate processes. So when we get to that point, we realize we can always take responsibility for our actions. We're always at that place where that's something in our power. I can say, wow, I did that, and I apologize for it. And that's a powerful point that helps the other person move towards forgiveness. But again, it's a separate process and helps the process of reconciliation. But then again, that's not guaranteed. Those are just two pieces that may come out of the process of apologizing. Okay, so Thrivers, here are some rules for apologies. What I say is that, number one, an apology is for actions, not for the feeling created. You apologize for action, not for some feeling you created. For instance, I could say, I'm sorry I did this action. You know, I'm sorry I wrote that angry letter to you. I'm sorry I said those mean words to you. I'm sorry I called you that name. I'm sorry blank. I'm sorry that I took this action. What many people do is they say, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. And when you apologize for someone's feelings, it's really not apologizing. It's just saying, oh, you're so sorry that they felt that way. It's not taking responsibility for the actions you did, only for how they felt about it. And so while in the moment they may go, oh, wow, they apologized to me, for a while it's going to linger around and go, you know, that really doesn't feel conciliatory. I told you about that messaging, and here was the first rule I realized had been violated. The person said, I'm sorry that bothered you, but, and by the way, the but is going to be another rule that I'm going to talk about in just a minute, but I'm sorry that bothered you is not an apology for the actions. It's just being sorry for the fact that I felt a certain way, and really, in our culture, is just a way of, you know, it's like someone comes to me and said, you know, I really had a rough day, and I would say, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm not apologizing for the fact that I had a bad day because I had nothing to do with it. It's just a statement of concern for them that we voice as an apology. And so when we say, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, we're really not apologizing for any action, just how they felt at that moment. That's why that fails the test of an apology. So the number one rule of an apology is it is for an action, not a feeling created, and ought to be phrased in this way. I am sorry, I blank. Fill in the action you took that was the reason you're apologizing. Okay, so number one, apology is for action. Rule number two, apology is not an explanation. And this is another place I see. Sometimes people will say, you know, I'm sorry I, and they fill in the blank. I'm sorry I said those mean words to you. And then they explain why they did it. Now, it's interesting because we all want to be understood in why we take certain actions. But here's the problem. The difference between an explanation and an excuse is only whether you are saying it or whether you are hearing it. So you may want to explain, but to the person to whom you're addressing it, it will feel like an excuse. I'm sorry I said the mean things to you. I had a rough day and blah, 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 blah. And suddenly what you're saying is it wasn't my fault that I said those mean words. It's because of these other things. It's because of what was going on in me. It is entirely possible that there are other things going on in you. In fact, I would guarantee it. But in the process of an apology, it is not the time to give an explanation. At that point, you need to say, I'm sorry I said that to you. Period. Can you forgive me? What do I need to do to make this better? In other words, what amends do I need to make? Now, sometimes when I say that there is no explanation that you do an apology, people say, well, at some point, don't I need to explain it? And that is sometimes a necessity. That is sometimes important for the other person to, after the fact, they may say, why did you do that? But what I like to try to do is divorce those two pieces, to separate the piece of an apology with the explanation. You may circle back around and say, you know, I wanted to talk some more about what happened and what was going on inside of me and why I did that. But recognize that the risk is there that it will still sound like an excuse. Because when we say to someone, why did you do that? It is rare that there is a reason that you can give that's going to satisfy the person, the listener. The person who asked that question wants something that is not likely to come their way. And so a lot of times I'll hear people say, you know, we're stuck in this place because every time I try to explain, the other person says, oh, that's just an excuse. How do I get around that? And so you have to be very clear that there is no excuse for what you did. You can only talk about what was going on internally. You can only address what was going on internally, but that you want to make it very clear that there's still no excuse for what you did. So in some ways, you want to take back the option of the other person hearing that as an excuse by saying, there is no excuse for this, but this was what was going on. Which brings me to rule number three of this process of an apology. Rule number three is that apologies do not include but, the word but. We often do that in our culture. We say, I'm sorry I did this, but, and we fill in the blank. Cognitive psychologists tell us that whenever we use but, we erase everything in the front of but. So whenever we use that word but, we're negating ourselves. When I say, I'm sorry I did that, but, we negate the apology, and all we're doing is giving the excuse. And so it's very much tied into that apology is not an explanation, to realize that when you add a but on, you have just negated the apology. Rule number three in giving an apology is do not include a but at the end of it. Simply apologize and stop. At that point, there may be a need for explanation down the road. You may need to say, let's talk about more about this later on. I just want to make sure you understand that I am so sorry I did that. And then if you come back to that and still there is a need for an explanation, that is when you say, well, there is no excuse for my behavior. I can tell you what was going on inside of me. I can tell you what I was reacting to, but there's still no excuse for that. You'll notice even then I used a but. I just want to be clear how dangerous but can be when you tack it on to the end of an apology. Apologies end never with a but, because then we're into an excuse. There's building an excuse for your action. Okay, so rule number one is apology is for action, not the feeling created. Rule number two is that apology is not an explanation. That becomes an excuse. Rule number three is an apology does not include a but, because then you will launch into your explanation. Rule number four, accept that the possibility that your apology will be refused. understand that it might not be accepted. I've worked with many people who said, you know, I keep trying to get the other person to accept my apology and they won't do it, to which I say, that's not your goal or your task. Your task is to take responsibility, and that is also your goal, to take responsibility for your actions. You may begin a process of reconciliation, but accept that the apology can be refused by the other person. They get that choice. Your task is simply to offer it. The next action is up to the other person. They have to decide if they're going to accept your apology or not. If the person does not accept your apology, you want to be very careful to not shame them or try to force an apology, because, you know, a lot of times in our culture, we like everything wrapped up. We're used to the sitcom or the drama on TV that's wrapped up in a half an hour or an hour. And so we don't like messy endings. You notice how few movies you go to, how few Hollywood movies ever end with a messy ending. Everything's tied up so neatly, unless, of course, you're at one of the recent trilogies. Think about how you felt when maybe you saw Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit series, and it got to the end of that one, and you're left hanging. You're left waiting for the next one, and you're left ready to go see what happens next, because we like that wrap-up. Think about how that happens in other movies, where it seems like it just pauses at the end with everything not quite settled, and you walk away feeling unsettled. It rarely happens in our culture that we have stories where things are left hanging because we love so much to have it tied up. The problem is, real life doesn't always allow it to be tied up. We don't always have the chance to have it tied up. And so it's possible that the other person will not accept your apology. And then the danger is, you want that cleanup. So you try to force it. You say, I said I'm sorry. What else can I do? That's trying to force them. Don't turn it on them. Your task is to take responsibility. It's up to the other person to decide whether to accept or not. If you're able to take responsibility for your actions, you have done your part of the apology. Then you have to wait. Then you have to be patient and let the other person think about what that's about. Okay, so one more time, let's kind of quickly go through, just because repetition helps us nail it down. Rule number one, apology is for the action you did, not the feeling you created. You want to apologize for what you did. Rule number two is that an apology is not an explanation. Explanations are going to be heard as excuses by the other person. Number three, apology does not include but. If you put a but at the end of your apology, you've negated the apology. Number four is, accept the possibility that the apology is going to be refused by the other person. It's not going to be accepted, and that it's up to the other person to decide that. It's not something you can force. See, then we begin to have this model where we're free to apologize, because it doesn't really matter in terms of our responsibility what the other person does with that. We have done our side, which is to take responsibility for our actions. An apology has to be more than a confession. We hear that all the time. We see people who confess what they've done wrong, but they stop there. Confession is admitting what you did, but an apology is expressing remorse and regret for what you did. The difference is substantial. Sometimes people have things discovered, and so you've done something wrong, and it's found out, and you say, yeah, I did that. That's not an apology. That's a confession. The next step is to say, and I am sorry for that. Notice the difference between the two. Sometimes I've heard people who have confessed at what they've done. I heard it many times when I was working with couples, where one of them would have discovered an affair and the other person would finally admit the affair, but never take responsibility by apologizing for it. They would say, yes, you're right, I did do that, and leave it at that. So an apology is much more than that confession. It's admitting not just what you did, but expressing remorse and regret for what you did. Okay, so those are the pieces that go into a proper, good, effective apology. But I want to make one major caveat that I see all the time. Do not apologize for what you did not do. You take responsibility for what you did do, and that's all the responsibility that you should take on. You can't take on responsibility for things you did not do. There's no need to take on more. Because when you take on more responsibility than for what you did, it usually comes out of one of two issues. The first one is your desire to stop an argument. To stop that, maybe it's to reconnect, but maybe it's just to stop the assault. And so a lot of times we do that as a way of just stopping. Okay, I'm sorry I did that, but we're apologizing for something we didn't do just because we don't want to have the conflict. What that does over time is, one, it takes away any integrity that you have because then you're taking on things you didn't do. Two, it makes you the bad guy all the time. It locks you into that role. Three, then you have to live that down the road. I've seen repeatedly where people have finally to stop an argument, admitted to something they did not do, only to then have to defend why they did that, which they did not do. Think about how many times we've seen that with, you know, a teenager is arrested and they're taken in with by the police and the police are pushing and pushing and pushing and just say, you know, all this will go away if simply you'll tell us that you did this. And so they finally admit to having done it, something they did not do, and then have to live with the ramifications of their confession. They thought it would go away for some reason. That's human nature. We want to stop the pressure. And so they admit to it thinking it's going to go away, and instead it only entangles them more in the problems. Well, the same thing happens in our inner relationships. Whenever we take responsibility for things that we did not do, then we have to live that down along the way for something that we didn't even take action on. So make sure that when you're apologizing, you're apologizing for something that you did do. So the second, the first reason is the desire to stop an argument and reconnect. The second reason is in response to an interrogation from someone, which is about their control. So the first one is because you say, okay, I just want to stop the argument. The second one is because the other person is in a controlling place. You know, a lot of times, and these are intertwined, so kind of like the police, you know, they keep on pushing and pushing because people want control. And so they push and push and push to get you to admit to something because they want to be able to hold it over your head down the road. They don't care if you did it or not. It gives them one more place to say, see, this is why you're the bad guy and I'm not. And so you'd want to remember that an apology is for only what you did do, not for things you did not do. Okay, if you're wondering what happened with my friend, we finally got around to the place when I said, hey, you know what, that didn't sit well with me. That apology didn't nurture me. And what happened after that was my friend said, you know, you're right, and I'm sorry. And it was a heartfelt apology that time, and we can reconcile, and I could let it go and move on. That's what an apology does. It lets the whole relationship get to a point of reconciliation. So let's kind of divide up one more time about who's responsible for what. If you did something, you're responsible for apologizing for that. The other person is responsible for forgiving whether you apologize or not, but what hinges between the two of you is reconciliation. And reconciliation is very difficult when an apology isn't felt by the other person, when an apology isn't thought to cross that mark of saying, okay, you sincerely regret what you did and there's remorse and I can see you in a different way now. Notice how that happens in an apology. You can begin to see the other person in a different light. I could begin to see the fears that were happening for that other person in the apology. Instead of me being angry with the other person, I could begin to humanize them and move to a place of reconciliation where we both understood each other differently afterwards. And the really cool thing about those kind of interactions, those angry interactions, is if we approach them from a place of apology, of forgiveness, and reconciliation, we can learn about each other at a very different point. Now, one other caveat is to realize that if you do an outstanding, great apology, the other person may accept your apology, but it may not lead to reconciliation. That's a place between the two of you that you both have to reach towards. Okay, Thrivers, that's the podcast for the day. I hope it was helpful for you. I hope you thought through how you apologize and you got some more tools on how to apologize. I'd love to hear more about your thoughts. What other pieces would you add? What other rules of reconciliation would you add in there? What other rules of apology would you add? Please just leave them in the comments area. If you're listening to this on the blog, just put some in the comments area below that. If you're not on the blog, if you're listening like lots of people on iTunes and Stitcher, You can go to the blog just by going to thriveology.com. That's thriveology.com, thriveology.com. That's the home base of Thriveology, and you can leave your comments there. Also, I'd love to hear about other topics that you'd like to hear about. I'd love to hear if you've got someone you'd love to have me interview or other topics that you think might fit into a thriving lifestyle. What would that look like? Just send me an email. My podmail address is podcast@thriveology.com. That's podcast@thriveology.com. Also, if you are on Twitter, you can do me a huge favor just by letting people know that you have listened. And all you have to do that is very simple. If you're already on Twitter, just go to thriveology.com/love. Thriveology.com/love. That's going to pre-populate a Twitter tweet that you can send out. Just if you don't want to change it, you can just hit send and let people know about this podcast, know about this resource. Help us bring them into the thriving community, to the thriving world. And that way we can begin to build this thriving nation and be just better than we have been before. I wish you the best. And join me again next week as we continue delving into how to thrive in life. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best.
You've been listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.